Praise the Lord. And a very, very good morning. It's good to be back here amongst you. It's been 2 years, approximately, I hope. Most of you remember me, and that it's not a bad thing, but it's a good thing that I'm back here today. You know, friends, God is good. And I'm looking at the battle cry, Jesus Christ is Lord, that you have over the pulpit. In the Hindi language, we would say, Yeshu Christu Prabhu Hai. Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is my battle cry on the streets and the highways of byways of India as I proclaim the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. You know, friends, the gospel is very challenging. It challenges us all. And we have to rise to that challenge because God commands, in fact, God demands that we all are obedient to his word. It's the words of life. There is no God. There is only one Saviour, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And as I walk the streets of India, as I preach the gospel in India, I have to proclaim the truth of the gospel. India is very challenging. India is a country with 1,001 problems. And its need is for the gospel. So I'm just going to read from the Bible, and it'll kind of set the scene of what India is all around about. And the work of Mission Asia Ministries. It's a very famous scripture in Isaiah chapter 55. We're all familiar with Isaiah 55 and verse 11. So we're going to read from the book of Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. And it would say the following thing. And so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Friends, we're living in strange times, and the gospel that we're hearing in many places is a strange gospel indeed. There is a mix and match of the words of God, because there is lack of real revelation and understanding of the words of God. And this is why people are preaching error. This is why people are living in error. And this is why we see a world that is going further and further into darkness. Because the gospel has to be preached or proclaimed as it is. Because as it is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. Here we have this scripture. And many people believe that as we speak blessings upon people, then the blessings will come upon people. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. The Lord Jesus said, take heed therefore how you hear. You know, you can sit here and you can listen to me all day, and you could choose to ignore me. But friends, when God speaks, we have to take heed to his word. Because one day, we will have to give an account of that word that is spoken, whether it was through the pulpit, through a preacher, through his word, the Bible, through tracts, CDs, and numerous ways that we have today in proclaiming the gospel. God will require an answer from every person who hears his word. You know, life is full of challenges. And being around men and women of God, you will always be challenged. And I've been challenged twice already while I've been here, not even 24 hours, not yet. Challenged by my sister Irene, that why should those who have heard the gospel hear where there's so many millions who haven't heard? This is in my head and in my heart daily. And the brother in the prayer, we're going to the sinner saviour. What a wonderful wording that's just challenged me again of how to bring people to the sinner's saviour. Marvellous. When the Lord speaks, when the gospel is proclaimed and people hear, and whether they reject, it's irrelevant to me. But I'm in the highways and the byways of India. I make sure people hear, and I make sure they hear gospel truth. The word of God has gone out, or has gone forth, as Isaiah tells us. And one day God will demand an account of what that person did with that word. That is the application, and that is the inspiration for missions. Jesus commanded that we go into all the world and we preach the gospel. Now, the Great Commission is something that we all heard, we all read, but the question is, where are you in the midst of the Great Commission? God's not interested in talkers. He's only interested in walkers. And I just wonder today, friends, and you know, I'll call you friends, are we walking the gospel path? Hallelujah. I go to a place in India, well, I go to many places. In fact, I'm going back out on the 18th of September until the 20th of November. It's 9 weeks, primarily India, probably the last 10 days in Sri Lanka. Now, mission work has kind of grown on me the more and more times that I've gone. And it's been more or less twice per year. The last year has changed considerably, and so has the length of time changed for me to go to India. I go for approximately 3 months on average. The reason why I'm coming back early this time is because I have to, because my wife told me to, because it's our 20th anniversary. So praise the Lord. And I've not spent an anniversary with Maggie for a long, long time. So I have to. But I go to a place now where I don't go and preach much in cities. There are good witnesses in the cities, in the major cities of India, but in the highways and byways of India, there is little gospel outreach whatsoever. In fact, a place called Orissa, I am the only missionary working in this area, and we're talking millions of Hindu people who are lost in spiritual darkness. I am the only white missionary. In fact, I'm the only missionary, period. And I have to be sneaked in through the back of a car, all wrapped up in all kinds of clothes, to hide me from people who stop us on the way. So I'm there, and I have to move very, very quickly, because once word gets out, I could be in grave danger. But whilst I'm there, I am ministering to people who are so desperate. And they're crying out to Jesus when they know he is the one true God. They're accepting him as their Lord. Ishu Christu Prabhu Hey becomes their, I won't say mantra, because that's the wrong word, but their cry unto the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. I have a lovely photograph on my website of this lady in a best sari who came out to hear the gospel, got saved. She can't read, she's illiterate. But she's crying out to Jesus. And in the midst of this village that she's become saved in, all the Hindus now don't speak with her. The shops will not sell her any food. So she's having to walk miles every day just to get daily provisions for her family. That's cost. Remember that next time you find it hard to come to a church meeting. That's cost. She's got a Bible. She can't read it. In the picture on the website, she's holding this Bible upside down because it's just words on a book to her. But it draws her closer to this person, this Saviour, who is called Jesus. In the highways and the byways, friends, no missionaries, only me, who've gone, and people who are responding to the call of the gospel. I want to, well, I am very interested in theology. I love theology. Me and Brother Graham, we only have one language, apparently. We only have one conversation, according to our wives, and that is theology. And that's not a bad conversation, dare I say. And it's great to get into the in and outs and to the rudiments of this and that in the Bible. It's great. But we're in the highways and the byways of proclaiming the gospel, a gospel of power. People are not interested in theology. They want a gospel that works. For the gospel is power unto those who hear it, unto salvation. If it's preached as it is, because as it is the power of God. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16. Second Corinthians 5, verse 16, says the following. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. I like the Bible. I like the preaching of Paul, the teaching of Paul. He's a great missionary, a great pioneering missionary. One of those who We went to various areas where no man has gone before. And we wonder why God worked through him mightily. A man who took to the challenge and ran with the challenge of gospel proclamation in the extreme dangers at times. In the good times and the bad times, we see so much of what God did through this man of God. One time, and many people today, friends, know Jesus. They've heard of Jesus, especially in the westernized world that we're living in. But many, many people know a historical Jesus. They don't know a personal Jesus. They know him after the flesh, so to speak. And we have many Christian so-called denominations who are still trying to chase or still trying to hold on to a Jesus of the flesh. Look, the Bible tells us there was a man who walked the earth called Jesus. A man like us. Human. A human being in the flesh. 2,000 years ago, we walked the streets of Jerusalem proclaiming the gospel. Yes, that is true. But it's not there no more in the flesh. You know, but people want to hold on to the past in so many realms of their walk with the Lord. Many people in the cities of India know of Jesus, especially the Catholic persuasion. Or even some of the Christians know Jesus after the flesh only. And they don't know him in spirit and in truth or as a personal Lord and Saviour. And their lives never change. Their lives are the same as they were before they started to call upon the name. The lives don't change because they're still living in it with an historical head knowledge of this Jesus. Many times I go to India, people never even heard once. They say, who is this Jesus? And I sit and tell them about this Saviour, this man who loved them so much, this God who became one of them, who died on a cross. Their hearts melt, their tears come to their eyes. It's wonderful to see such things. Don't get me wrong, not all the time. Sometimes we have to leave very quickly, because if we don't, then we're in grave danger. This is raw turf, but this is pure missionary work. And I'm kind of growing into it year by year. This will be my 20th trip to India next month. So please keep me in your thoughts. Please keep me in your prayers. In 1999, there was an Australian missionary burnt in a place in Orissa. I had to go to do a 3-day mission there in this place. And the Hindus there are anti-Christian and they're anti-missionaries, they're anti-gospel. But please pray, keep me in your thoughts and your prayers. From the 20th of September till about the 8th, 10th of October. Yes, October. Keep me in your prayers, because that's the hotspot. That's the place where if anything is going to happen, it will happen. But Jesus calls us to duty over danger. Praise the Lord. I don't know a Jesus after the flesh. I know a Jesus who is real. I know a Jesus who communicates, a Jesus who leads, a Jesus who provides, a Jesus who is my Saviour. And a Jesus who has commanded us all to go and preach the gospel. And I'm one who's going to rise to that challenge. And friends, you know, I'd like you to rise to that challenge with me by keeping me in your thoughts, me and both, and Maggie, and keep me in your prayers about these times that many, many people will come to that knowledge. I was there in April, and I was there in May, 2 months, a little bit more, in India and Sri Lanka. And there was no work, friends, for the people. And you're talking 40, 45 degree heat. And I was there preaching the gospel, and we had thousands coming to the open air meetings because there was nothing else for them to do. Thousands were turning up and thousands were responding to the gospel. See, my word has gone out. My word has gone forth and it will not come back void. My responsibility was discharged on that day. Those thousands were hearing, and they were hearing the gospel as it is. I wasn't mixing up, I wasn't mincing my words, I preached it from the Bible and from our heart that was given over to the authority of God. Many people come in responding with their arms and coming out to receive Christ as Lord and Saviour. I don't know whether I'll see these people again. All I know is that they've heard. And if they go back into their Hinduism on that day, and I can guarantee there's going to be a day for every one of us where we're summoned to the throne of Christ to give an account, they will give an account for the words that they've heard.
Praise the Lord.
I went to a place called Varanasi on my own to speak with what we call the Agori Sadhu. A sadhu, if you see any photos of India, or if you're on the Googling, go back and Google a sadhu, S-A-D-U, it's a holy man in the Hindu religion. And they wear the orange or the crimson garments, which distinguishes them from everyone else. They've turned their backs on the world, and they're living a life so-called godlike. So many people would stop and bless them with money and receive prayer of these sadhus and some kind of religious instruction. Well, there's different types of sadhus, from those who are just crazy to those who are just really completely yoga experts, and to those who are really, for want of better words, given over to a controlling by certain things. There's a group called the Agori, and the Agori are actually cannibals. The Agori, you find them around the graves or the places of burning, as we are in India. And yes, they burn bodies openly. It's not very nice. But certain places do it because it's on the River Ganges, and it's a holy place. Anyway, I spoke to these Agoris, these people who eat the flesh of dead bodies. This is how bad certain places are. You know, believe me, it's not a holiday. And these people are wacky. That's the only way to explain. But these people need to hear. And how will they hear unless the preacher is sent to them? There's not much fruit amongst these people because they're controlled by a lot of forces. But the gospel is being preached to these people through tracts primarily, because it speaks to them in their language. They can take it home and they can read it, or when they're sitting amongst these graves. But they have some good fruit amongst the sadhus, some people. I spoke to one man, and for 37 years he'd become a sadhu. There's a paint all over him and a loincloth, and he'd walk the streets of India just like this, with his hair matted up like a tower on his head, and he could speak English. And I sat there and spoke with him for a good while and explained all about Jesus. And he was telling me about his gods and how he's got this magical mantra. And I said, tell me what the mantra is. And he wouldn't. It was breath. Breatharians, and he'd do a lot of breathing, and it brings him to a heightened spiritual sensitivity. I said, that's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense what you're doing. For 37 years, I can give you a mantra that will take you to the very throne of grace. He said, what? What is it? I said, Jesus Christ is Lord. He said, who is this Jesus? And I gave him a gospel, a tract. And I walked off because he said he would come and speak to me tomorrow. And as I walked past him an hour later, he was going, Yesu Christu Prabhu Hey. And all his hair was down. Light had dawned in that body, in that mind. That's India. It's marvellous. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles, shall we? Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 20. In fact, we're going to go to Mark chapter 10. I'm mindful of the time, folks. If you're going to come tonight, please, I've got a real fire and thunder gospel message for you this evening. It'll change your life. It'll challenge you and inspire you to continue on. Not that I'm sure you don't need much inspiring. But we all do, friends. We all need to be challenged. We all know the story of Jesus. Jesus was on the road. Jesus was walking in his missions, and his preaching, and his teaching of the gospel. And here we have it from chapter 10, and from verse 17 onwards, we have this. This is Jesus. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. And defraud not. honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these I have observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. It's all about perceptions about Jesus, because everywhere you go, from every, let's keep it in Christianity circles for a few moments. The Catholics, Protestants, the Baptists, Pentecostals, and so forth and so on, they all believe that they know Jesus. They all have a perception of Jesus. It's interesting, when you speak to people about such things, what actually comes out? In India, unfortunately, people are being persuaded by what this abomination called a God channel. And they're swayed to follow another Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4. Okay? Another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. It's in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4. For those of you taking notes. And it's interesting that they believe that they're following the right Jesus. And yet their teachings and their lifestyles contradict what the Bible says. It's interesting. It's all about perceptions of Jesus and knowing him. You know, friends, look at yourselves before you look at anybody else and ask the question, do I know Jesus? This young man comes running up to him, good master. Look, don't call me good. If anybody on earth could have been called good master or good teacher, it would have been Jesus. But Jesus didn't accept that. He rebuked him and said, no, only one is good, and that is the Lord, that's the Father, that is God. Many people have a perception, a personal perception of who Jesus is. Look, read the Bible and it'll tell us exactly who Jesus is. This man came up to him and he had the wrong perception. Now look, Jesus is good, but Jesus didn't want to be known as a good person. There's many good people in this world today. People who have done great things for charities and raised millions of pounds to help relieve suffering around the world. These would be called good people in the eyes of the world. But they may be adulterers. They may be all kinds of things that they're getting up to in their own private life. Look, 20 odd years ago with this Live Aid thing and Bob Geldof. But look at the lifestyle that he lives. And yet he's called a good man because he's raised millions for what was going on in Africa. Commendable work, but not really a commendable person as such. It's all about perceptions. And Jesus wanted this man to know who he was and for who he really was. That he wasn't a good person as such. He was Jesus, the Son of God. This is who the man should have been acknowledging him as to being who he was. Who do you say that the Son of Man is? Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's true revelation. That's revelation. And that's what you need, that true revelation from God by the Holy Spirit to know who Jesus is. And the question is, do you have that revelation? Or is it just a historical Jesus? Well, because time is going quickly, a lot quicker than I thought it would be, we've got to just skim over a lot of issues. But tonight, I'd like you to come, friends, because I've really got a good gospel message, well, it's all good, that's going to really challenge you and stir your hearts. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 20. Very briefly, we're going to read from verse 15 and verse 16. John chapter 20, 15 and 16. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Many people who are well read in the Bible come to the Bible well read, thinking that they know it. When I read the Bible every day, I come to it as if I don't know any of it, and I come to face the fresh challenge of the Scriptures of the Word of God. I want God to speak to me every time I open those pages. There's many things in the Bible that I have difficulty in understanding. And one of the things that I had difficulty understanding for so many years was, why didn't Mary recognize Jesus when she has spent so many years with him? Have you not asked yourself that question? And it's interesting, because when many people who proclaim to, or profess, they know Jesus, and yet they live lives contrary to biblical understanding of Jesus and the authority of Scripture, it begs the question, have they really seen Jesus? Are they asking the question, who are you? Oh, there he is, right in front of her. And she's spent 3 years at least with him, or at the most rather, with him. And yet she still couldn't recognize Jesus. Do you not ask these questions? Or is it just me? You know, I often wondered why. And we can get blinded by so many things in this world, and our eyes can get taken here, there and everywhere. Whether it's angels and the supernatural, or whether it's people who are just leading us away, you know, from Jesus. But primarily here we have this woman who was so dear and so loved Jesus. Last at the cross, yet first at the tomb. This woman who had her heart for Jesus, because she loved him. Who are you? Well, if you've taken his body, tell me where he is and I will go and get him. You know, you see such a beautiful intimacy here with this woman and Jesus. Jesus, obviously, he'd been crucified. He'd been put into this tomb. Her world has suddenly come to an end, because now he was no longer there amongst her and the disciples. You know, friends, there was an historical Jesus. There was. He walked the earth 2,000 years ago. I said that at the very beginning. But there was time coming. Jesus came to die on the cross. Praise the Lord. If that hadn't happened, where will we be today? And Jesus had been crucified. Jesus had been dead for 3 days. And now he was resurrected. Hallelujah. That's the power of the gospel. There were religions with their wrong perceptions of Jesus. They don't understand the gospel. That's why they have wrong perceptions of Jesus. But for those who know Jesus, and those who are walking in the light, here we have this Jesus now who's back from the dead. Hallelujah. And yet Mary couldn't recognize him. And you know, Mary couldn't recognize him because he was no longer to be the Jesus in the flesh. That now is gone. And for all those people now who would recognize Jesus, it would have to be through the eyes of faith. No longer is he going to walk physically on this earth. And of course, the resurrection and the ascension, that was the culmination, that was the completeness, if you like, of his mission until the second coming, the great parousia. But in his first coming, he came to die, hallelujah, and to be rose again from the dead. This is the God, this is the Saviour that we're serving. She couldn't recognize him because she was still looking to the historical Jesus. She was still looking to walk with this Jesus who walked as men do upon this earth. But that was coming to an end. Things were changing. Now, the early disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't even recognize him because God had hidden him from their sight. It's only in the breaking of bread, the intimacy of fellowship, do you get to know him. Again, the disciples, let's go fishing, when they went off fishing again and Jesus was on the shore cooking the fish, they didn't recognize him. Peter jumped in the river and said, "This is the Lord." And he got there, and of course it was Jesus, and the disciples were all gathering. If you know your scriptures, read it. They said, look, they didn't ask who he was. They just knew in themselves that it was the Lord. Talk about intimacy. Talk about faith. Talk about spirit to spirit. Talking about a different relationship. The historical Jesus is no longer here amongst us. We get to know him through his word and through the Spirit of God who reveals who Jesus is. Many times the revelation of Scripture comes. We don't even have to ask, Lord, is that you? We just know it's of him. Many a times, friends, you know, we're struggling to find Jesus because we're still looking at the past where we need to get intimate with him. Maybe in the breaking of bread, friends. Let me encourage you to do that. In the breaking of bread, and let Jesus just reveal himself anew to you. Isn't that marvellous? He wants to reveal himself, friends. He wants to reveal himself through you, the church, to a world that is dying. Because he doesn't know the gospel. He's not heard the gospel. going to rise up and become part of the Great Commission in these end times. Times are running out, friends. We all know that the pressures that the church is under for a secular society, how it's trying to steal or close our mouths from speaking the truth. It's not going to get any easier. It's going to get harder. The glorious days are over, if there were any. And today, we're in the thick of it. But we have to proclaim the gospel until his coming. My word has gone forth. It will not come back to me void. It will accomplish its purpose, friends. When God speaks, he demands the world hears. Let's just bow our heads. Bow our heads unto the Almighty God. Let us stand before men, we stand before the Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the challenge of your word. Your word is light, your word is life. Lord, we thank you that your word is shaping us, it's moulding us. But Lord, we pray also it needs to break us so that we might be the man and the woman, boy, girl, you've called us to be in this generation. I pray, Heavenly Lord, you give me always the right perception of who you are and what you require of me in my life and in my living before you, the Holy God. Here I am, Lord, and here I am to serve thee, to serve you in this very, very dark age. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus for dying on the cross for me, my Saviour. I thank you for the intimacy that I have with you, my Lord, my God, my Saviour. Father, I look to the challenge. I want to rise to that challenge today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing another hymn. We'll sing number, where are we? 681. Arctis, the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the lambs who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold, away. Some beautiful words. A beautiful song. A beautiful hymn.
Oh,
Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, as our hearts are open to you at this very moment in time, we just ask that you would just touch us, Father, and just bless us and just encourage us, Lord God, in the way that we should go. I pray for every person, Lord, and for every family and for every home that is represented here this morning. Lord, that you would just, they would just know the touch of Jesus today. And for all those who are hearing the message, Father God, let them know the blessings of the Almighty God. Keep us safe, Lord. Keep us strong and keep us in the way. In Jesus' name, amen.